Welcome into the Patriots Preview Podcast, taking a look ahead to the team's Week 17 game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Still getting used to saying Week 17 and not final with it. 18-game season this year, but let's, as Bill Belichick would do, keep it week by week. Week 17, the Jaguars coming in to help us break down the matchup. From the Patriots and Patriots.com, we have Mike Dussault, returning guest. Mike, how's it going? Welcome back to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alex. Happy New Year to you, of course. And yeah, we're coming down to the final here of the last two games of the season. Exciting stuff. We'll see what the Patriots got.
Yeah, and it's an interesting spot they're in this week. And I'll start here big picture. You know, what I think it is, you know, you look back when the Patriots were 2-4 and they beat the Jets and they beat them badly, 54-13. It's still their most lopsided win of the year. And everybody talks about, oh, it's just the Jets. They're a bad team. Lo and behold, they win seven straight. And I think there was some validation in that win for the Patriots. And players talked about this after the game, that they knew they were doing everything right. They just, you know, they were so close. And I think just, you know, just you talk about a basketball shooter when they're cold, just seeing one go in, how much that can help. I think they just needed to see one go in. And it sparked them and they ran with it. So here they are again, two bad losses. I don't want to say they're looking for validation again, but I think it's kind of that same thing where if they can really beat the Jaguars convincingly, and keep in mind, this might be half the Jaguars. It might not even be the whole team, depending on what happens with COVID. Can you see this game kind of being a springboard for this team moving forward? Is this, how much of a get right game is this?
I mean, I definitely think it's a get right game. I think the question is what kind of Jags team is going to show up here? And, you know, is it a week three preseason type team where you've got a lot of backups? I know today, Friday, they activated a bunch of guys. So we'll see how prepared they are. But I think this game is all about the Patriots and, you know, execute, do what you do. I think, as you mentioned, that Jets game that they won, it kind of set the stage of, you know, how they won all those seven games, which was taking advantage of turnovers, being opportunistic, getting out to good starts. And I think all those things fed into it. And what we've seen the last couple of weeks is the opposite of that, not, you know, forcing the critical takeaways, not getting the critical stops and, you know, not starting off well. So I think you look at the 2-4 start, it seems like it connects a lot to what we've seen these last 2 weeks. So I think they can get right against this Jacksonville team, depending on who plays. And then, of course, I'm not sure what their playoff status will be going into next week, but huge matchup against Miami, especially when you look at it bookending the season. So not to get ahead of ourselves, but I certainly think going down there to Miami, that's always a proving ground, and we'll learn more probably down there.
Well, it feels like that kind of, if you're looking for stakes in this game, and I know it might be hard for people to find stakes in this game, but I think the less that Miami game means, the better. And I'm not, you know, this isn't earth-shattering news, but they really, as much as we kind of joke about this game, they can do themselves a lot of favors in this game in this week.
Yeah, sure. They can, you know, clinch a playoff spot with just by winning and then getting some help from our friends, the Colts down there. We'll see if Carson Wentz is able to go, of course. And then, you know, to see our friends of course, the Titans, if they can knock off Miami. So Patriots could lock up a spot and that would be great. Take a little bit of pressure off for next week. I don't think anybody wants to go down to Miami needing a win. Miami very well, if they were to lose, will need a win. So I think even if it's not for anything, I still am going to take something from that game. It's not like the usual Patriots game where it's like, all right, well, let's just play, you know, the back ups and see, but I still think they got a lot to get right and to get on track. And I think Miami will challenge them as this is slowly turning into a Miami preview. But, you know, of course, excited to see Trevor Lawrence this weekend and hopefully the Jags are able to put out, you know, a roster. As things were earlier in the week, you didn't know if they were going to be able to field the team. So things are trending in the right direction. That'd be great if they can still get the game off on Sunday.
And let's not forget too, you're talking about teams that Patriots fans are suddenly fans of. Always been a big supporter of the Falcons over here. I've always loved the Atlanta Falcons. Okay. I've never said anything mean about the Atlanta Falcons.
I feel like I need to apologize for the whole 28-3 thing that I was involved in. I'll take it all back now if they can somehow knock off the Bills and maybe open the door back up for the Patriots to, you know, win the division. And of course the home playoff game that will come with it, that would be huge, but hey, let's just get into the playoffs. That's where my mindset is right now.
So you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, just what have your thoughts been? I mean, generational quarterback prospect goes to a generationally bad spot in Jacksonville, and they're kind of starting to right the ship, getting rid of Urban Meyer's obviously a big step in that. What have your thoughts been on him so far, especially compared to the expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly feel frustrated for him because I think he's an excellent player, and certainly he's, you know, one of those quarterbacks that's come out in the last 10 years that, you know, deserves the hype. And, you know, I think you've seen glimpses of that throughout the season with the, you know, the accuracy that he has, the athleticism. It's just unfortunate that he went into that situation with Urban Meyer, and you know, really is this How much is he going to be able to take from this year, his first year in the league? So, you look at Mac Jones landing in kind of the perfect situation. He's built an amazing foundation. He's going to have a lot of the same guys and coaches back next year to build off of. What's Trevor Lawrence going to have? They've also endured a ton of injuries, and now they have a bunch of COVID issues. So I hope that he can bounce back. I think it's good for the league when good quarterbacks are able to develop. And, it's been a long time down there in Jacksonville, and we'll see how he comes along next year, what the coaching situation is. But I still think he's a good player with a lot of promise.
And then from Jacksonville's current quarterback to a quarterback from Jacksonville, Mac Jones, people are talking about the rookie wall. I think here's my thing with the rookie wall. I think if you want to talk about the rookie wall, qualify it. Because I hear people say, oh, rookie wall, and that's the end of the conversation. Well, that doesn't really mean anything, right? Is it teams are starting to get tape on him? Is it, physical wear and tear? He's basically been going nonstop since August 2020 between the Alabama season. They go on the playoff run, two extra games, then it's right to the pro days, the Senior Bowl, the draft. He's in New England, so he hasn't had much downtime. Is it that? Is it the weather? Is it whatever? Learning curve. Do you believe in the rookie wall? And if there is, how would you qualify maybe what is holding Mac Jones back right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I think, all those factors kind of go into it. So it's easy to sum it up and say, oh, it's the rookie wall. But, I look at playing two great defenses the last couple of weeks and, really having to play from behind, being forced to be one dimensional. I think when Mac was successful, it's a balanced offense. You're getting things going with, both Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, which I think, only having one each of those guys the last 2 weeks, I think was, a little bit of a blow to how they were able to, kind of get control of games. But I think last week was really the first week that I saw Mac play and, it just didn't really feel like the Mac we've seen. It felt the accuracy was off. Some of the throws that we've just seen all year weren't really there. So, again, rookie wall or not, you play a good defense, you play a team like Buffalo was clearly motivated last week or 2 weeks ago, the Colts, they were clearly motivated, fast defenses, sending pressure, putting him in spots that were challenging. And I think it was, as the games unfolded, it made it even more challenging on him. So good opportunities here the last 2 weeks, certainly against Jacksonville. We'll see what their defense has. And then next week against Miami, Brian Flores, we know, how Mac kind of handled him in week one a little bit. They fell short. They probably should have won that game, but it'll be a chance to him to kind of go against a defense he had faced early in the season and kind of show how he's progressed. So I'm hopeful that he can bounce back here as we head towards the playoffs.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's a good point because I see people worried about the last 2 weeks and assuming this is it, that this is the guys Mac Jones is going to be. And I think maybe it's because we haven't had to do this in 20 years here in New England, progression's not linear and there is progression. Right. Yep. This isn't the player like we were Tom Brady, his first 2 years, because he led the league in touchdowns in 2002. So his first year he comes in and he's kind of new and then he leads the league in touchdowns. And he was basically one of, if not the best quarterback in the league for 20 straight years. There was no ebb or flow. I think maybe too, some of what the people are perceiving as the rookie wall is just normal quarterback play that Patriots fans don't have any context for. Like they don't know how to, and me included, by the way, I'm 27. Like I didn't really watch Bledsoe come and go, and I can't say I watched like guys like Tony Eason come and go and whatever, but I wonder if some of it is just we have to learn how to watch a quarterback who's not Tom Brady, as stupid as that sounds.
And it's a great point. And I'd even expand it, Alex, to like say, I think every time the Patriots have won a couple of games, they'd say, oh, the Patriots are back. I mean, I think we have to learn how to watch this Patriots team and understand that everything doesn't just click into place after Thanksgiving and they play amazing football. Like this is, it's a different team now. It's turning over. There's some veterans. But, as far as Mac goes, I think, of course, there's going to be times like that. And I think he's a specific example where he fits what they do great. They were able to kind of put him into a situation where, yes, he can execute the offense. We don't have to ask too much of him. But, in those moments where you do have to ask a little more of him or a defense throws a new wrinkle at him, or let's just say a defense is playing great, like the defenses have played the last couple of weeks, it does expose him a little bit. But I think what stood out to me is just that from the minute he got here and we saw him in, OTAs when he first showed up as a rookie and getting yelled at by Josh, that it hasn't been too big for him. And I think that's what Patriot fans, I think, are trying to wrap their heads around a little bit. And one more point I would make that I kind of talked about on the radio last week was just that, I think oftentimes when you draft a quarterback, it's their physical skill set that you're intrigued by. And you say, hey, guys like Justin Fields, they come in like, we know these guys physically can play at the NFL level. It's Can their mind catch up? Can they, you know, can they start to understand the game? And Mac came in, he kind of understood the game. Now it's a question of, all right, well, can his body kind of catch up to this? And can he, you know, I think he's been surprisingly athletic. He's stayed healthy. He's taken some shots. So that's all good. So I'm excited for year two. I think that'll be one of the most fun things to watch next year going into training camp to see, you know, how a full offseason has kind of developed Mac. So I feel good, but hey, there's a lot to be written here in these last two plus games to go.
So I don't know if you have any more pressing Jaguars takes, anything like that. If you do, I mean, feel free.
No, I mean, I think it comes down to the Patriots. And I mean, you know, the Jaguars, they have some players. I mean, I see, you know, Josh Allen was activated off the COVID list. So, I mean, he certainly has had some big games. You know, you go back to when they beat Buffalo. So, you know, I love LaVisca Chenault coming out. I always liked him for the Patriots. So I do think that they have some players, but, you know, you just got to wonder, coming up to New England in December, how much are they going to want to play? So for me, it's all about the Patriots not making mistakes. Let's get off to a fast start, something they haven't been able to do. I don't think anybody's going to be, you know, starting a parade if they blow the Jaguars out this weekend. But I think it's a game that they need to go out there, kind of prove to themselves, hey, let's get back on track. Let's play how we want to play. And that'll give them some confidence going into Miami and beyond that.
I might start that parade. I might, because I'm that guy. And like I said, I think, you know, there's something to be said for just seeing a shot going, even if it's a layup, and this indeed would be a layup. The reason I set the question up like that, you know, do you have anything else on the Jaguars, is I do think it's fair. I do want to get into the Hall of Fame a little bit. We normally kind of make this a week by week show, but this is kind of my Patriots attention is on this week. Richard Seymour, Vince Wilfork were semifinalists for the Hall. Richard Seymour's advanced the finalist round. Wilfork didn't. I don't necessarily have any problem with that. It's Wilfork's first year on the ballot. I think he should get in. I don't know that there's anybody I'd swap him out with among the finalists, though. So your thoughts on Seymour and Wilfork's candidacy for the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yeah, well, huge for Seymour. Obviously, this is the fourth straight year, which is just unprecedented. Right. So it feels like he's just got to get in. He obviously went into the Patriots Hall of Fame earlier this year, you know, and kind of said, hey, the guys are saying, if I'm not in the Patriots Hall of Fame, how can I be in the regular Hall of Fame yet? So maybe that's something that will be taken into consideration. But, you know, he's one of those players that embodies how difficult it is to really, you know, quantify what a defensive lineman like he did in the Patriots system. And I mean, you go all the way back through all the dynasty, 20 years, all the defensive players that they've had. I mean, Richard Seymour, just in terms of his pure dominance up front. And, you know, when you hear offensive linemen talk about him, I think that's the most compelling case that he has. But then when you go to Vince Wilfork, I think he's got the same kind of problems now. And, you know, when he came in, he's kind of a nose tackle. You kind of look at him as always, that 3-4 nose tackle. He's going to come off the field on third down. And, you know, I think he similarly evolved his role to that point where, you know, you look at like 2011, that AFC Championship game where, I mean, he was the most dominant player on the field. So I think both of them kind of are a little bit under the radar just because of how they played within the Patriots system. But certainly Richard Seymour deserves to be in. He's been nominated enough. It's time to get that guy in. No better guy to kind of be one of the, you know, founding members, so to speak, of the Patriots dynasty to end up in Canton.
And I think, too, this is setting up what's going to be a bigger picture question for the Hall of Fame. Because I think for a while, the Football Hall of Fame is kind of outside of the offensive line position, just blindly followed numbers. And there were players who played in an era where you could do that. But you look at some of the players who are coming up, right? Devin Hester is on the ballot this year, and he made it to the finalist round. But he's a big one for me because they haven't recognized specialists. And Devin Hester's career as a wide receiver is not a Hall of Fame career. It's what he did as a kick returner. I think he should be in. You're going to start seeing, you know, slot wide receivers, a guy like Wes Welker, eventually Julian Edelman, who they weren't necessarily playing the same position as a Randy Moss or Terrell Owens. And will the Hall recognize that? Pass catching backs, Larry Centers is a guy I believe should be in, but you're going to get like the Darren Sproles and the Matt Forte's are going to come up. And then I think what's going to be the most contentious Hall of Fame debate, maybe of across all of them since the baseball steroid guys, Matthew Slater is going to be in this conversation at some point soon. I don't think too soon, but at some point soon. So I feel like Seymour's a good way to kind of break that seal of guys who get in off the tape and off reputation versus guys who get in off numbers, right? Like in my mind, Richard Seymour getting in helps Matthew Slater get in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think football's evolved and I think you're seeing more nuanced roles within the system. I mean, as you pointed out, slot receiver is one, you know, is Seymour usually a defensive end. You'd think, oh, this is like a Michael Strahan, get upfield, get a ton of sacks, those guys. So it certainly is a little bit more complicated, than I've seen plenty of Buffalo fans kind of lamenting Steve Tasker not being in for as far as special teams. So, maybe he could be the kind of player that could pave the way for Matthew Slater. But, I tend not to get too worked up about it's the Hall of Fame. Like who are the famous guys? Who are the guys that, are synonymous with football? If they're that, I think when a name comes up, instantly. Yes, if you're kind of having to debate it, maybe not the Hall of Fame, but for the Patriots, I'm fine. They got great memories. Julian Edelman, I don't really care if he ever ends up in the Hall of Fame. he'll get in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Plenty of performance in the playoffs that made all those runs dynamic and hugely important, major catches, all that. So I'll take all that over the Hall of Fame stuff with him.
See, you say all that, and I'm somebody who does get a little fired up about the Hall of Fame. And I got fired up about this Wednesday, Thursday night on 98.5 The Sports Hub. But you talk about guys who, when you say their name synonymous with football, you just know. Rodney Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
Here's among all the cases you could make for Rodney, I think this is the strongest one. 30 career sacks, or it's actually 30 and a half, but over 30 career sacks, over 30 career interception, 30-30 club. He was the first player to do that. The only play, and this is in an era where there was not versatility. It's not like now where you had these guys like Kyle Duggar rushing the passer and covering tight ends. First player to go 30-30 on the defensive side of the ball. And the only guy that's matched him since is Ray Lewis, who is in. That guy belongs in Canton. There is no argument you can give me that will convince me Ronnie Harrison should not be Hall of Famer. He can't even get to the finalist round. It's an absolute joke.
It is a joke. And it's funny you bring him up because my 9-year-old son is really getting into football right now. And this morning we're sitting there watching Good Morning Football. He says, Dad, who was the best hitter of all time? And I said, I went into the talking, that you're talking remote control, YouTube, Rodney Harrison highlights. So we went through some Rodney highlights and just watching those this morning, it's just a reminder of what a force he was. I mean, I think when you look at his Patriots tenure too, every time he finished the year healthy, the Patriots were in the Super Bowl. I think you go right down the line. He was hugely impactful, and you're right. And again, it goes back to what you said earlier about the, specific roles. And I think he was somewhat of an originator of kind of making a safety linebacker hybrid type position. So no question, Rodney Harrison, synonymous with football, he should be in.
And I think you go back to, you mentioned his Patriots career. He was one of the best players in the league before that when he was in San Diego. And then he comes to New England. He was arguably the best safety in the league for 2 or 3 years. So Bill's kind of, Bill generally campaigns for guys he believes in. He campaigned pretty strongly for Ty Law. Ty Law got in, then shifted his focus to Richard Seymour. So maybe that's his next guy. And Adam Vinatieri is going to be up soon. And he's somebody I could see Bill kind of pushing for, maybe even Corey Dillon. But I would hope that the next guy Bill fully throws his weight behind is Rodney Harrison, because he absolutely deserves it. And, I don't know Rodney Harrison personally, but the way I hear him talk about the game and all of that, he just seems like a guy where getting into the Hall of Fame would really mean something to him.
Absolutely.
So I'd like to see that.
He's had to wait a while. And I think, as you said, there's been plenty of cases to be made for him, and he's a popular guy that gets cases made for him. So no question. I mean, you talk about the next guy that should be in from the Patriots. I think he's absolutely it.
All right, so now to bring it back to the Jaguars to close, because I do end every show the same way, and it feels kind of ridiculous doing it for this game, but Mike Dussault finished the sentence. The Patriots will win on Sunday because?
Because they'll just play get back to Patriots football. They'll play tough. They'll play clean. They'll do what they do. I think it will be somewhat of a springboard. Maybe not for the fans as much as and you, but I know you'll be excited. But I think it's one of those games. Get right, get out there, do what you do, get your confidence back, and then go into Miami, and then you'll really have a tough contest probably with them.
He is Mike Dussault. You can read his work on Patriots.com, on the Patriots Twitter account, and you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Dussault 19. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Alex.